So let's go into John chapter 20. Before I dive into it, I wanted to recognize Pastor Cohn is here. We've invited him to be here. He's my pastor. He's the pastor of Monterey Baptist Church, which Brandon goes to. And you guys need to know something. I've never met anybody who's been more supportive of a collegiate ministry as Dr. Cohn has been, not just with me, but throughout the years in New Mexico. In fact, he's the big reason we have this building. I don't know if you know that. He used to be the executive director of the Baptist Convention, and he said, you know what, that UNMBSU building is terrible. We need a new building. So he made it happen. So this building is here because of Dr. Cohn's belief in this ministry. He supports us in hundreds of ways. Anything we need, we have. If he's got it, it's ours. He personally supports this ministry out of his own finances by supporting our staff. And his church, Monterey, has given huge amounts of money to student mission work, to supporting students to go overseas. So I'm just really grateful that you're here, Dr. Cohn. Thank you for being here. I just wanted to say that. So here we go. I have my glasses. Hang on, because I can't see. John chapter 20. So last week, we dealt with this amazing faith-building story of Jesus risen from the grave, appearing to his disciples. We talked about how Jesus had to be a real man, flesh and blood. He had to die on a cross to take the wrath of God against our sin. He had to be buried, and he had to rise again. All of those things are crucial and critical to the reality of the gospel message, that we have forgiveness for our sins in Jesus. So we've already covered all of that. We're not going to go into that in great detail. Just to say, that's why we do what we do, okay? That's why we send people to North Africa. That's why we send people to Denver. That's why we encourage and exhort you daily to be sharing the gospel. Because Jesus himself said in this very gospel in chapter 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only way. We didn't make that up. We don't puff our chests up and say it proudly like we have the only way. No, we are humbled by the reality that he reached out to us and did what only he could do to make a way for us to be made right with God. And so, that's why we're so passionate about this. That's why we want to share the gospel. That's why we go to the places that we go. It's because we want people to meet Jesus. We want them to know him. We want them to have forgiveness for their sins and life, the things that we sang about just now, life in them from God through Christ. That's why it's so important. And so this chapter is significant because it's the story, at least the second half that we dealt with last week, it's the story of Jesus appearing before his disciples and saying, see, it's real. I did it just like I said I was. Look at my hands. Look at my side. I am the man Jesus who walked with you, who you saw on a cross die, risen from the grave. And it had to happen that way, remember, because there had to be eyewitnesses. There had to be testimony. We have seen him. We have touched him. We know that it's true, that he has conquered death. We saw him rise into the clouds to go be with his Father. And that's the only explanation, we mentioned this last week, why this dramatic turnaround happened in the disciples' lives. They go from scaredy cats to empowered by the Spirit to be witnesses to the nations. And all many of them suffered tragic, horrible deaths as a result of their faith in Christ. It had to happen that way. So that's what we just dealt with. And then I skipped over. I just gave a little bit of lip service to verse 21 because I wanted to save that for tonight. So here we go. Verse 21 of chapter 20. So Jesus said to them, as he's appeared in their midst behind the locked door to all his disciples who are scared, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." As the Father has sent me, I also send you. This is John's great commission. Okay, this is Jesus saying to his followers, who we are, you have a mission. There's a couple of interesting things about this. First, as the Father has sent me, last week I talked about the verb being in the perfect tense when we were looking at another part of Scripture. This verb, sent, is in the perfect tense. Who remembers what that means? Anybody? What does perfect tense mean? I talked a lot about it last week.
Did you say it was an actively doing?
Okay, it's...
done but not done?
There you go. Okay, Andrew said done but not done. What he means is, and what perfect tense means is, it's something that has happened, it's completed, something in the past, so I was sent by the Father, but that still is bearing weight today. It's still true today. It's still having an effect today. Why is that important? Big deal. What Jesus is saying is not, I got sent, now you're going to get sent. What he's saying is, just as I am a sent one, okay? The Father sent me on a mission. And I continue to be sent on that mission. It's still true today. That characterizes who I am. I am one who is sent. In that understanding, I send you. Okay, so here's what that means. The mission is reconciling people to God from every tribe and language and people and nation, from the ends of the earth. It began with him becoming a man and then dying and then being buried and then rising. But it's still ongoing. And he is still the sent one. His mission's not complete. His mission will not be complete until he comes again. And all those who will receive him have received him. And he comes and he makes everything right. Until that day, he is still on mission. He is the sent one from the Father. And what he's doing in this verse is he's saying to his disciples and to you and me, now you are too. You get it? Now you are too. You are now known as sent ones. That's your identity. You participate with Christ, with his authority, in the power of the Spirit that he's going to send to accomplish his mission in reaching the ends of the earth. And I've said this before, aren't you glad that this is happening? Because you are a part of that. You are the realization that the gospel went out to the nations. And now, as believers, he looks at you and he says, just as I'm a sent one, Stephen, I send you. You are to go and be my witness and share the gospel truth that men and women can be saved through me. That's powerful. That is powerful. That's who we are. And so as you go to your classes, as you go to your work, as you go on vacation, as you go hiking, as you go to the grocery store, wherever you go as a sent one. You go sent by Christ to be on mission with him, to win people to him. That's what you are to do. That's your identity. And so it doesn't matter if you get on a plane and go to North Africa or if you stay here in Albuquerque. Wherever you go, you are a sent one. He sent you there. Isn't that crazy? Think of it. That just rocks your whole understanding of life, I hope. Everywhere you go, no matter where it is, think, Jesus sent me here. He sent me into this biology class. So I wonder what his plan is for these students. He sent me into this waiter's job at the Outback. I'm his witness. He put me there. I wonder what his plan is for my coworkers. That's how you are to think about life. That's who you are. Okay? And so then we have the story of Thomas that we dealt with last week, who wasn't there. So Jesus appears again and he shows Thomas who he is. And Thomas declares, "My Lord and my God." Remember, we talked about what a dramatic turnaround. The guy that was skeptical and didn't believe turned around and said the most high and lofty thing he could have said. He claimed that Jesus standing in front of him was God, and that was true. And Jesus says to him, "Because you've seen me and you have believed, blessed are they who did not see and yet believe." That's all of us through their testimony. And we talked about how this is John's testimony. He was the eyewitness that saw all that, and he wrote it down so that others would come, like you and me, and read and believe. And that's how he closes this section. So here where we get into verse 30 and 31. "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." It's not just about acknowledging some truth. It's not a classroom. It's that you see it, you believe it, and you bet your life on it. It's the kind of believing that creates faith, that it's true, and it's the only way to God, and so you embrace it with everything that you have. And as a result of that, you find life, God's life in you for eternity. That's the reason he wrote this book. That's why he wrote it all down. Now, the language is a little bit confusing, and a lot of people have debated exactly what John meant. And in the interest of time, I'm just going to cut to the chase. Usually I like to discuss these kinds of things. If you're here for the first time, usually this is a discussion, but we're limited on time, so I'm going to tell you what I think. What he's saying here is, as a result of what Jesus just said, that there are going to be people who believe without being an eyewitness like we are. I have written this story, and in my story, I've included powerful things that testify that Jesus is the Messiah. He did a bunch of other stuff that I didn't even put in this book. There's a lot of stuff that he did that I didn't write down. But I wrote down enough to give you the idea that this man Jesus was sent from God as the Savior of the world. And I hope that by reading it, you believe that and find life in Him. That's what He means. And so as we think about all of us first, all of us, as sent ones, we are now carrying in us the Word of God. Literally, Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit, right? But also we have this Word. And what is this Word? It's a letter. It's a letter inspired by God for all men and women that you are to share so that they would believe and have life. And so as you go into your classrooms and workplaces and the grocery store, you carry this letter. It's in you. It's a letter for all people so that they could know and believe. That's powerful. And so as it specifically relates to Project Impact and North Africa, think of it this way, guys. You, as you go to those places, are our letter to them. We're writing a letter with the investment that has been made into your life with the Word of God that you're going to carry, that you're going to carry to these factors. One by way of First Baptist Church in Jal, and one that lives here, right? And you've been in maybe other churches, but now you're a part of X Factor. So we've got two X Factors. We have Hoffmantown by way of First Baptist Church Artesia. We have Foothills Fellowship. We have Monterey, Brandon from Monterey. We've got First Baptist Church of Rio Rancho. I'm going to forget one. And we've got Desert Springs. Two from Desert Springs. Oh, yeah? Who's that? Who did I miss? Okay. Technically. So, you guys are being sent. You're being sent by Jesus, okay? You're being sent on mission with Him to these places. You're also being sent by your churches. These churches who have supported you and prayed for you and will pray for you all summer. And you're being sent by this ministry to go and be that letter, that gospel letter to those people who desperately need to know who Jesus is. That's what your purpose is this summer. And so we hope that you would carry it faithfully, and I know you will. And that you would prayerfully, and in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, seek every opportunity to make relationships with people that you come into contact with so that you can share this love letter with them. And I know that you will.